Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
An iPhone with a curved screen could come as soon as next year.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. In New York, I'm Jennifer Strong. Apple suppliers seem to think an iPhone with a curved screen might be in the works as a way to mark its 10th birthday next year. Joining me now in the studio is the Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. Brian, what do we know at this point?
Well, we don't know a lot. Hi, Jennifer. We don't know a lot that is factually true, but we know the rumors talking to suppliers, our reporters talking to suppliers. Look, we know that Apple has a lot on its shoulders, a lot on its plate for next year. The 10th anniversary of the iPhone is a big deal, and they need to come out with something that's not going to look like just a small iteration on the iPhone 7. The big investment in display going on right now are these OLED displays, these organic light emitting diode displays, and there are all variations on it, you know, these curved screens and whatnot, more flexible designs. And so, you know, the question here is whether Apple is going, you know, how are they going to plug into, how are they going to tap into that technology for this next phone, which kind of has to make more of a splash than just we moved an antenna band and took away a port.
Right. iPhone sales are slow and Apple is under quite a bit of pressure to, like you said, deliver a hit next year. But investing in this technology comes with some risk.
Yeah, well, you never know what technology is going to be adopted and you never know what cool thing is going to really be cool. And so, you know, I could look at TVs as an example because they're the ultimate display, right? Everyone loves their TVs. Mm-hmm. You know, curved television screens, you know. Okay, maybe, right? Like, I don't know, and you even go back further, 3D TVs, those were a complete bust. So, you know, what you think is going to be hot may not always be hot, and, you know, these OLED screens could fall into that category. Look, there are some benefits, right? And some of them are right up Apple's alley, right? OLED screens, they can be thinner, they can be lighter, and they can allow for more flexible design. They're all things that, you know, at least two of the three we know Apple is always, moving toward is thinner and lighter. You know, in a flexible design, you know, a more bendable screen is always going to be advantageous because, you know, when it's rigid, it breaks. Right. So these are things that Apple's going to want to drive toward. But there are risks. And one of them, is that the cost is going to go up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the risk to Apple is, you know, will people want to pay? You know, at what point are they going to not want to pay for this premium device? You know, and that's something I think Apple's always wrestling with is how to stay premium, but how premium is too premium. And when you create an OLED screen, there is the risk for the price to go up. Now, there are OLED screens out in the market right now.
Android devices,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so Samsung's a big maker of OLED screens and has them. Xiaomi phones have them, and I believe Google's Pixel phone has them. So they're out there already. And at affordable prices. And so Apple will have to wrestle with, you know, how to eat that cost.
Right. And you mentioned Samsung. Right now, they're the only folks who can mass produce these. Is that right?
To my knowledge, yeah. They're really the one. There are some others dabbling in it, investing in it, like LG Display and Japan Display. But really, if Apple's serious and wants to mass produce OLED screens for the next phone, it's going to have to go to Samsung, which, you know, is always funny, right? It's always ironic. It's like their chief rival. So they have to go, you know, as they have in the past to them for chips and whatnot, they're going to have to go to them for screen technology.
Yeah. Some of the executives at companies you just mentioned are, you know, they sound
noncommittal almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'd say they don't sound super enthusiastic that these are really going to be adopted.
Right, which is, you know, some of it benefits the display makers, right? Like if you are heavily invested in LCD technology, you know, it's more cost effective to stay in your wheelhouse than to spend $3, $5, $10 billion, as Samsung has allegedly, to spend that much to come up with a new technology that is you don't know how long it's going to last. So it's in the interests of, say, a Japan Display to say, we love LCD screens and we're going to stay here and we have an even better souped up version of an LCD screen that you're going to want to look at. So but at the same time, you know, they have to go to where their buyers are, right? And so if Apple goes to them and says, we really want to mass produce OLED screens, these display makers, they're stuck. They kind of have to do it. And so you're seeing investment not on the level of a Samsung, which is all in, mm-hmm. right? But these LG displays, Japan displays, Sharp is another one, which was bought by Foxconn, which is a big supplier for Apple. They're investing several billions of dollars into it, but they have an interest in still promoting LCD, which they have an expertise in.
And I believe it was Japan Display that said we're still several years out from having a truly flexible phone. And
right.
So there's not, as far as they were concerned, a huge advantage.
Right. And so Japan Display, they have their own LCD product, and they created a new version of it that they say enhances flexibility. I think it's called Full Something. I can't remember the name. But it enhances flexibility and picture quality and shelf life. And the issue, Jennifer, with these OLED screens is that it's not just a screen that you're staring at that needs to bend. There's stuff in there. These are touch screens, right? So they have these capacitors and they have all this other technology in it that would have to bend along with it. It's not easy to create a bendable touch screen. So there is some, there's a lot of investment that has to happen there.
And I think that's why
Japan Display is saying, look, it's not like next year we're going to produce these OLED screens that you just be able to fold up and put in your pocket. It's not Westworld.
Right. Is there anything else you think folks would be wise to watch for?
To me, what I always find interesting, and maybe this is a little wonky, one on the business end, it's just the relationship between Samsung and Apple is so compelling and fraught. These frenemies, if you will. And so to me, just as somebody who follows business journalism, tech journalism, I'm always watching that to see how that relationship goes and evolves. And if Apple has to go to this frenemy of the phone market and say, I know we're in countless lawsuits, against each other over patents and whatnot, but you mind if you mass produce? You're the only one who can create these phones that we desperately need to create a hit on our 10th anniversary. Thanks. So that's one end of it. And on the other end of it, where I think it really touches on consumers is, we think Apple's working on more than just one model for 10th anniversary, right? They're working on many models. How many will come to market may only be one, but the way Apple's track record lately is to have several different kinds of models in the market. You see that with the MacBook, for example, and the iPad, have minis and pros and all these different sizes. If you have an OLED screen, one question is whether it's going to be in just one model or all the models. And if it's just in one model, how much more expensive is that one model? And then what do the other models look like? And you start to get into this fragmentation of that device, which I think creates challenges for the consumer in figuring out, what do I want and what do I want to spend on? Because it's one thing when you could say, I have to plunk down X dollars and I get the best phone in the market. And now when if I plunk down that same X dollars, I might not get the best phone in the market anymore from Apple. I may get their second tier phone. And now I have to leap up higher to spend to get to this OLED screen. I'm guessing at that scenario, mm-hmm. but that's the road I see going down. And so I'm curious how Apple, if they do introduce an OLED screen, how they go about doing it, one, to kind of tamp down on fragmentation, assuming they want to do that, and then also manage the price for the consumers, because you either have to eat that extra money as against your profit or you pass it on to the consumer. And these phones are really expensive. When you buy a phone, you're buying a computer. And mm-hmm. so another $50, you may say it's another $50, but there does come a point where I think where people start to look for other options. And so Apple has to wrestle with that.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald joining me here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong.
Keep tabs on the markets. Listen to WSJ's Money Beat podcast for straight talk on Wall Street. That's right on the money. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.